Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is May the 6th, 2014, and you're tuning in to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And thank you for all your love and support on my Facebook fan page. I really do appreciate that. Today with me, I have Nelson Nigel, who is the founder of Head Exposed. He's diverse in government procurement. And, of course, some of us don't know what that is, so Nelson will be breaking down all of that for us today and answering any questions that we have. He helps small businesses understand the path to winning, and that's his main goal here. So if you have any questions for Nelson, if you feel like chatting with me, do so. Call in at 347-426-3751. Good afternoon, Nelson. How are you today? Nelson, how are you today?
Yes, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. I'm glad to have you on the show answering questions that we do not understand. Of course, when it comes to things like this, I try to do all the research that I possibly can, but I'm glad that you are here to sum it up. But before we get started on government procurement, can you tell us about yourself?
I'm just trying to be the best that I can be in creating awareness regarding procurement opportunities in supplier diversity. There's lots of opportunities, and I'm just trying to do my best to create awareness.
Right. Now, I do understand that. What is procurement?
Well, procurement, Technisha, is in itself the acquisition of goods and services from an external source, whether the federal government is buying goods and services or large corporations are buying goods and services. They are all going through a process in which they are buying these goods and services from smaller providers. So
basically, is that basically like finding smaller people to actually do the work for them?
Sort of, yes.
Okay.
For example, the U.S. Army buys goods and services from small businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And small businesses are trying to compete to sell to the U.S. Army, whether they're selling boots or they're selling socks for the troops or they're selling guns. They all go through a certain process in terms of selling these goods and services to the Army.
Okay. Now,
the actual definition of procurement is, and I'll read it for you.
Okay.
The actual definition is the acquisition of goods and services from an external source. It is favorable that the goods, services, or works are appropriate and they are procured at the best possible cost to meet the needs of the purchaser in terms of quality and quantity, time and location. Corporations and public bodies often define processes intended to promote fair and open competition for their business while at the same time minimizing exposure to fraud and collusion. That's from Wikipedia.com.
Okay. So
does that make sense?
It does. It makes perfect sense. Now, what are some of the benefits of procurement, though?
Well, there's lots of benefits depending on who, which side you're on. Are you a provider, or are you a buying agency? Are you a buying corporation? Again, corporations are looking to save money. They're trying to they're trying to build their database of providers to provide them goods and services. For example, Chase Manhattan Bank, Chase Bank, or Citibank. Buys paper and computers and desks and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They want to buy it at the lowest possible cost to fill their offices, right? The government is trying to increase its talent pool, increase its the amount of great contractors, and they're also trying to they have a tremendous need for goods and services. The roads are constantly being broken, being repaired. The military again buys goods and services. There's tons of governmental agencies that need constant supply of goods and services.
Now, Nelson, mostly the supply chain, the procurement and sourcing interchangeably, they're actually all the same, but there are some differences in between them. Can you explain that?
Differences with in procurement on the corporate level or on the public level with the government.
The corporate level.
Okay. Well, I think you're trying to get at the differences between the corporate versus the governmental, right?
Yes.
Now, let's look at it this way. The federal government and the state governments and the local governments, they have to abide by laws in procurement. These laws are, mandate certain things, whether they have to give a certain percentage of the contracts to small businesses or to women-owned businesses or to veteran-owned businesses, etc. So that's number one. The government has to abide by laws, and corporations, on the other hand, do not. There is no law that says, let's go back to the local bank. There's no law that says that the local bank has to hire a certain amount of products and services from a certain group or from a certain entity. So number one, it's laws. Corporations do not have to abide by laws, but the public entities do. The government does. So number two is by law, the government cannot negotiate prices with a provider. The government sets out what's called tender documentation, and they are just put to the mainstream for providers to respond to these what's called RFPs, requests for proposals, and they cannot, again, negotiate prices. Corporations, on the other hand, can negotiate as long as they want. They are the entity, and they will negotiate with the providers. Are you following me, technician?
I am.
Okay, and lastly, number three. The government does not necessarily have to purchase from the lowest from the lowest bidder. And okay, let's go back. Number one is law. Number two is negotiate, and number three is okay. That the from the lowest bidder, and corporations, on the other hand, can go and purchase from these low bidders, and there's no law that says that they cannot do it. And it's different systems, and it depends on who these providers want to sell to, whether it's the public or corporations. But there's still lots of opportunities for all small businesses.
Right. And it's, well, as long as you, well, when you're selling to the government, you just really have to target your market and your competition.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's the name of this game, because I know it's very aggressive out there, as many people always tell me. And they now, when it comes to that first contract, what suggestions would you give to a person?
In terms of obtaining a government contract?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you hit it on the head. You have to target your market and find out who you're targeting. Now, there's federal agencies, there's state agencies, there's city agencies, and these are like on a governmental level, and they all have their own way. For the most part, they all have their own ways of dealing with providers, and they all buy different goods and services. So you know, as a small business. As a small business owner, you should find out who is buying what, and you know, who within that agency you should contact. So that's most important. Sure, if you're selling boots, right?
Right. Right.
So, and you know, just so you understand. There is 478 federal, on the large level, federal agencies and bureaus. That's a lot. For example, I mentioned the Army earlier, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Department of Agriculure, Department of, Air Force, Military, Department of Defense, etc., right? And they all buy. You know, they have huge budgets, and there's just incredible opportunities out there for small businesses. Department of Defense alone, I think last year, I think their budget was over $600 billion, and Department of Healthcare was over $900 billion.
Oh, okay. Now, Nelson, what if a small business don't win the contract, even though they submitted the lowest bid? Is that allowed?
Well, again, the government is looking for the most qualified, and the lowest bidder does not necessarily do not necessarily win, because they may not be the most qualified. In my experience, as a real estate developer, the lowest bidder sometimes you have to be wary of the lowest bidder, because maybe they bid wrong.
Okay.
And if someone bids wrong, and you're dealing with for example, if you're someone's repaving a highway and they bid wrong and they cannot finish paving this highway and it's a public project, you as the governmental agency are responsible.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Sometimes the lowest bidder is not the most qualified.
It does, because I do understand what you're saying. So they're really, it's kind of like qualification criteria. You got to have the experience on maybe projects or years in business and stuff like that in order to be okay.
Yes. It's again, be wary of the lowest bidder because they just may not be the best qualified company.
Okay. And then you got to be responsible, and it's, I mean, all that is looked at. Yeah, I do. I follow you, Nels. I do. I follow you.
Yes,
it might seem a little different because, I mean, it is business. I'm a communications major, but I do follow you. You got to know a little concept of everything. Yes, I do follow you. Now, so, Nels, what are the advantages of competitive purchasing that private sector could take away from the public domain?
Competitive purchasing. Okay, one second.
Okay, take time, take time.
So what are the advantages of competitive purchasing on the private sector?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now we're talking about corporation procurement, right?
Okay.
There is advantages to both sides, whether you're selling to corporations or the government. And the advantages will definitely be okay. Let me try to simplify this. Okay, if you're selling to corporations, whether you're selling to a local bank or you're selling to Kentucky Fried Chicken, or you're selling to McDonald's, right? McDonald's has thousands of franchises. You know, 7-Eleven, if you're a construction person, you're building 7-Elevens, right? So you are not dealing with legal tender, with the legal tender being a request for proposal, a request for information, or things like a request for quotation, which is legal documents, and you're not going through those processes of submitting bids and going to bid reviews and going back and forth with governmental agencies, right? So that could be an advantage to you if you're not, you know, if you're not geared for these long-term meandering procurement processes with governmental agencies.
Okay.
Right. So if you're trying to minimize paperwork.
Okay, I'm following.
So that could be an advantage. Number two, if you're trying to possibly sell products faster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, that local bank is buying reams and reams of paper products or buying thousands and thousands of pens every 2 months. That's a quick way to sell product. Or even if that same large corporation is buying product on a consistent basis, you can possibly enter into a contract with them for what, for 1 year or two, I don't know, maybe 10 years, right?
Okay, right.
With governmental agencies, you just do not have that ability to sign a contract. There is no contract. I'm sorry. Contracts cannot be stipulated to that certain degree.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, when you really look at all of it, it does make sense. And I'm following you just well. Now, Nelson, when you get down to it, what is really the difference between, like, what do you really feel are the biggest differences between government and private sector purchasing?
Well, again, the biggest difference is that the government has to abide by laws, and corporations don't, right? And the government, if you are willing to, if you believe that you are not getting a fair shake in the private sector, right? Maybe
yes.
Government procurement is something you can look into. Some may say that corporation procurement is not fair. Some may say that, you know what, it's survival of the fittest. Well, usually it is. Some folks would not like to submit bids and not win. Well, some may feel that it's cumbersome and just, you know, too long of a process to go back and forth with, and you know, trying to bid on government projects or government contracts, and some may just want to deal directly with the corporations. When you're dealing directly with the corporations can't cut you. The corporations do not have to abide by laws, and they will shortchange you, and you can lose big time. So there's pros and cons to both sides.
Right. And to me, when you think about the differences, I mean, everything is, I mean, I guess some would probably just think, like, it's so open and public. You could go online and everything is online about that one company, what they're bidding on, who they're closing out to.
Yes, with government procurement, everything is accessible by the public. Whether you won that bid or you didn't win that bid, you have the right to find out who won the bid, and it's listed.
Now, what do you think are some of the most common misconceptions about government purchasing?
The most common misconceptions, I would say, a lot of people think that the lowest bidder always wins.
Okay.
That's a misconception. It's like a myth, right? That's not the case. Another misconception possibly can be, the big boys always win.
And that's not true.
Or the government is only giving these giving the contracts to the large corporations, and by law, again, the government has to give 23% of contracts to small businesses.
Right.
So these are, you know, they and the government is trying to create a better a more level playing field. You know, by doing so.
Right.
That's a big misconception. And
of course you probably do have to give to the low bidder, but like you said in the beginning, it has to be determined if they're going to be a responsible firm and if their bid is responsive. So you just can't just give it, okay, here you go, you the lowest bidder, there you go, and you messing up my company by the next day or next week. What's going on?
Yes. Yes.
Now, Nelson, with your company, how did you come up with Head Exposed?
I really see a need for information.
Okay.
I really want to create a difference and create awareness and reach out to the small businesses and show them that they have an actual opportunity to sell goods and services and provide on a public level and on a private level, because you know small businesses at the end of the day create jobs, and the jobs turn our economy. That's the infrastructure of our economy, small businesses, and we need to constantly keep small businesses active, because they turn our economy, whether it's a local economy, and the local economy, all of these local economies add up into our national economy, and that keeps our country moving.
Right.
And that had exposed, we're just trying to create awareness about these opportunities. And a lot of small business owners do not know or are not aware that they have all these opportunities available to them.
Exactly.
Whether on the corporate level or on the governmental level, there is tremendous opportunities.
And I know there are. It's just people sometimes, Nelson, just don't do their homework. We don't do enough research, because there's so much out here online now that's available that you can find out and even ask some questions to other people in the field. If you don't know something, ask somebody else who's on experience, because you don't want to get out there in business and mess up. That's one thing. Nobody would never trust you if you mess up. Now, when it comes to women and minorities, how much involvement do they have in procurement?
Well, it all depends on what sort of involvement are you talking about? Women, minorities, in general. Well, supplier diversity is kind of a focus that had exposed, and supplier diversity in itself is defined as a business process which encourages the use of diverse-owned, women-owned, veteran-owned, LGBT-owned, disabled veteran-owned, and historically underutilized small businesses. And so that's supply diversity in a nutshell, and that's kind of like I picked it up on Wikipedia some time ago. And the opportunities are there. Like I said, 5% of all federal 5% of federal contracts are mandated to go to be awarded to women.
Okay.
All right. So if Department of Healthcare is spending $900 billion on 5% of that of their procurement budget is going toward women-owned small businesses.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of small businesses in general, 23% is going to small businesses.
Okay.
That's a lot. So yes, you know, large businesses, the large corporations like a Raytheon or a General Dynamics or a Boeing or Lockheed Martin do obtain a lot of these large contracts. And you know what? For the right being, they are established companies that get the job done.
Right.
Still opportunities for small businesses, whether they're selling paper and pens to services like architectural services or consulting services or intelligence services. There's opportunities for small businesses, and whether they're providing software, etc. There's opportunities.
Now, Nelson, when someone feels that they have this opportunity to expand their business and with billions of dollars available in contracts and doing business with the U.S. government might be the right opportunity for their business, what is the first step in the process that they need to do?
I would say the first step is, well, you make sure that that your company is a qualified company. You have to have a business plan. And again, you've heard this many times, Technisha, many small businesses do not. Many small businesses often overlook this, but a business plan is intricate. Your business plan will detail and create a roadmap for your business, and you have to find in your business plan you will identify your target agency, whether you're selling to a governmental agency or your target corporation. Right, there's thousands and thousands of corporations buying, zillions of things. Right, you can't just go to the Department of Agriculture and try to sell them workman's boots. Correct.
Correct.
They're not buying that. Right, they might be buying irrigation products or something. The small business owner. Should focus on their business plan, and the business plan will outline who their target buyer is, and it will outline how they will sell a certain product to that certain buyer. And as long as you understand who's buying your product, and you understand which product you're selling, and what your capability is. Then you should stand a good chance to win those contracts. Does that make sense?
It does. You got to be ahead of the game, and that's what exactly it means. Be ahead of it. Now,
business planning is intricate. It's crucial, and it's part of establishing and running a successful business. And remember this. The government and corporations are only looking for the highest qualified. So you have to be the best of the best if you're going to sell your goods and services to them. And the reward being, it's some with corporations you might have the repeat buy. With the government, you have opportunities to not negotiate on your contract. Remember, the government is not going to negotiate with you. So if you win a contract, you win a contract. Corporations, on the other hand, they will negotiate with you, but, of course, you might have an opportunity to enter a 2- or 3-year contract, 5-year, depends, you know, whatever you're selling, but you do have the opportunity to enter into a structured contract with them. Government, on the other hand, they do not enter in contracts like that.
Okay. I think all this definitely, it does. It makes perfect sense, Nelson. And people who are listening, if you're an entrepreneur and a business owner or even trying to get started, you don't want to look back and just say, oh, I wish I could have did that differently, because you want to do it right from the start. It's a cruel world out there, and people will chew you up alive. You got big dogs out there who are ready to do it. And if you're not prepared, then you're not prepared. And they're not looking for somebody, oh, you was valedictorian, you was the top 10 of your class. No, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody who can be able to handle their business and sell their product.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to represent your company as best as possible, and planning is crucial. Business planning is crucial. I cannot stress it. I just do not know how to stress it, but it's crucial.
Yeah, and having a good mentor, that's definitely another thing most people need. Get a mentor. You got to have the advice of someone in that marketing professional. So definitely do that. As they always told me, you want to make sure you have a good name, a logo, a tagline, and a website. Make sure no one else is copying the same thing that you have, because you don't want to end up in court later on paying back money because you stole someone else's idea. So. And it all falls back, like Nessa said, just have that business plan. That's very crucial. You got to have
it. The business plan is crucial, and those businesses that succeed are the ones that have strong business plans. You cannot, in this day and age, everything in business is moving at the speed of light, and you have to have everything written. Or written at least, because you know, what if you need a loan for an operating costs, and you walk into the bank, the first thing they will ask you is for a business plan. They will ask you for your balance sheets and your accounting statements. Your business plan should have an idea of an overview of all of these things, and that's number one, right? You need to have, especially with all of procurement, you definitely have to have a line of credit at least with a bank, to help you fund operating costs and equipment costs, etc. Right?
Right.
So if you don't have a business plan, then you may not most likely obtain a line of credit from a bank or a business loan from a bank to help you work on a project. Does that make sense?
It does. And I also think to me, especially in this economy today, I think it's more about collaborating and not so much about competition, because you want good people on your team. You want somebody who's going to be there for you, the creative people who are going to bring out the best in you and everything else that you do. So I think that is key as well.
Yes. Speaking of collaborating, you can collaborate with other small businesses too if you're say, for example, if you're on a government procurement level, you can reach out to other small businesses in your line of business, and if the government is seeking one million pairs of socks, right?
Okay.
if you're capable of putting providing 300,000 pairs, and maybe your most direct competitor is capable of providing another 700,000 pairs, that's an opportunity to say, hey, let's partner up. Let's bid on this contract, and we can both make money on this project, right?
Right.
And that's an area where small businesses can partner up and both benefit each other. On the corporate level, well, corporations are putting up these large buildings, right? And if you're a construction company and you do the concrete, and if you sell the concrete, and a certain new construction is buying a certain amount of concrete, and you can provide half the concrete, and your competitor can provide the other half. That's an opportunity to reach out to your competitor and say, "Hey, you know what? Let's partner up. Let's speak to this corporation, and we can sell them product for the next 6 months, and it's a great opportunity, right?"
Right. And I think a lot of people also forget too, Nelson, when they go into business, that you guys think about diversity. You cannot be closed-minded. But sometimes that could be the best contact. That could be your network right there. They can help you start off a business. Because I get tired of hearing people say, oh, they come over here, foreigners, they get this, they get that. Okay, while they're getting that, you need to be on top of your A game getting it too. Getting it.
Exactly.
They are. They come over here. They're doing their research. You got to do your research. They're coming over here. They knowing what they want. And people got to stop using that. Stop playing that blame game and everything. It's not about that they coming over here getting everything. They're just doing what they have to do to make it, and you got to do the same thing. Go over there across seas and get the money, too. It's just keeping it real. You got to be up on it. People are looking for something. You're looking to make the money, but you don't want to put the work into it.
Absolutely, and the work falls back to the business plan. A lot of this business plan is intricate. It's extremely crucial. And once you have a tangible business plan in front of you, you can take that and you can create opportunities for yourself, because that business plan is going to help you tremendously. Blame game. You cannot play the blame game because this is your life. This is your business. If you're a small business owner and if you do not want to do what it takes to get to that next level, well, you may not reach that next level.
You got to be willing to learn, but you got to also know it's out there, it's available, and you got to be willing to want to spend that time to learn. What's that cliche, Nelson? I can lead a horse to the water, or I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink it. So it's up to you.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, Technisha, the federal government has put in place they have the SBA, in which they are reaching out, using the SBA to reach out to small businesses to promote small businesses, right? The SBA is one of those large federal agencies, and the states have their own little agencies there in which they're trying to reach out to the small businesses, the cities, the locals. There's so many nonprofits which are reaching out to these small businesses and saying, hey, we can help you, run your business. We can help you fund your business. We can help you get your business to that next level. Even for example, the Department of Defense funds the Procurement Technical Assistance Centers, and those centers, are trying to help small businesses in procurement. Corporations Also, are reaching out to small businesses. Let's look at, you know, American Express has a huge small business program. Lots of who are I'm drawing a blank. There is a lot of these educational institutions are reaching out to small businesses and trying to help them, and these are opportunities are there. These opportunities, and these are most of the time these are free resources to take advantage of.
Right.
So who doesn't want anything that's not free, right?
Right. Exactly. Who would not want that? But I know that we are getting up to the time and everything, but we're going to take just a short commercial break, and we're going to come back with Nelson Nigel on talking about government procurement. So just stay tuned.
There's only one station that will keep you happy. Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Ever wonder what makes us, the Smurfs, so happy? The forest, of course. This is where we, along with the beautiful forest creatures, make our home with beautiful plant life, clean water, and endless adventures. It's a place to celebrate. So discover the forest with your family today. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back with Nelson Nigel, who is the head of Head Expo. And we were talking about government procurement. And we also, before we left off, we were talking about you actually got to get out there and do the work yourself when you're going into business. You can't be slacking. You can't think somebody's going to just do it all for you and you're just going to make the money. It doesn't work that way. But now, Nelson, you also have you have written about several books about this. Where can we find these books at?
You know, they're on. I think they're available on Amazon.com and they're available on HeadExposed.com. And it's just outlining the opportunities which are there. I cannot say it enough times. There is tremendous opportunities out there for small businesses for supply diversity in procurement on both levels, on corporation and on the governmental level. Women, minorities, veterans, disabled veterans, the LGBT community, Native Americans, other and, you know, historically underutilized small businesses. There's opportunities and let's take advantage of them. Definitely. As I say, the government's not going out of business, right?
Right.
it's not going out of business, and with corporations are just like these governmental entities, they have an insatiable appetite for goods and services. Corporations turn around and they use desks and they use whether it's construction services or consulting services or whether you're selling paper and pen and who knows what software, etc. They are buying just about everything that you're selling. And you just have to find these corporations and target them and reach out to them and consistently demonstrate that you are the most capable company and you are qualified, and you are and you have a past track record of great performance in your business.
Right.
And of course, your business plan will outline, you know, your business plan will outline your track record and address all the issues relating to your business and to relating to your capability.
Right. Now, Nelson, for the budding entrepreneurs out here, can you tell them some challenges you encounter when going into business yourself?
I'll tell you, being an entrepreneur is a hard pill to swallow. Some people want to swallow it, and it brings the most out of you. It gives you a lot of fulfillment. And you're actually achieving things that you want to achieve. You know, I'm really going out there and I'm really doing it. I'm really doing what I want. Some people just do not want to work for others. You know, there's a saying that says, build your dreams or someone else will hire you to build theirs. I am that entrepreneur. I said, you know, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I've always been an entrepreneur, and it's like, it's a great, great, fulfilling. Great career choice. Some challenges. There's tons of challenges. You know, there's always a lack of money. There's always a lack of time. There's always lack of opportunity. But that doesn't mean that you can't go out and create your own opportunity. So part of being an entrepreneur is going out there and creating your own opportunity. Some challenges, you know, there's always funding. You are not guaranteed a paycheck, right?
Nope. Yeah.
So, no, yeah. you are your own business owner. You know, you're not guaranteed a paycheck, but there is that ability to create a paycheck based on what you want to put in. How's that? Whatever you put in is what you get out. If you want to make $100,000 a year of your small business, you can. If you want to make $300,000 per year of your small business, you can. If you want to make $3 million per year of a small business, you can. If you want to make $3 billion on your small business, you can. It all depends on what you want to put forward and what you want to risk, or how hard do you want to work for it, right? So the opportunity, you know, you determine the eventual outcome of your small business. Some people do not want to work that hard, or some people just do not have the drive to go that far, and they may just want to work in a regular job. And that's okay for them. For me, Technisha, I'm an entrepreneur.
No, that's right.
I create my opportunities, right?
Exactly. Create your own destiny. That's what it's all about. And I agree with that statement that you said. If you put out garbage, that's what's going to come back to you. So just be ready. For all the entrepreneurs out there listening, just be ready. It's not going to be easy. And to me, success is when you learn to listen. Listen to somebody who has the experience. Don't get out there jumping like a spider monkey and thinking you're going to be handling your business, making money. It doesn't work like that. So please, have a mentor. Have that business plan. Have yourself together. Because it's not going to be an
easy road. Absolutely.
No, go ahead, Nelson.
Oh, and again, the government has agencies out there which are trying to promote the small businesses. Your local college and universities have their own business development programs, or they're partnered with business development programs. And you have your local nonprofits which are trying to help promote small business development. So there's lots of opportunities out there. You just have to, the small business owner just has to go out there and seek them. And, again, free of cost, free of cost.
Right. Now, if you don't mind, please share your website with the listeners, Nelson.
The website is headexposed.com, www.headexposed.com. Again, headexposed.com, headexposed.com.
Okay. Well, Nelson, I really do appreciate you for being on the show and really enlightening us into what actually government procurement is, because we need to know these things, especially if you go into business. They need to know this as well. So I thank you so much.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Thank you for having me and helping me, you know, again, create awareness on government procurement and on supply diversity in government and corporation procurement. These are opportunities for all of us. So let's go out and let's get them. Let's win them.
Exactly. Let's get it, big baby. Well, you have a blessed one, Nelson. Oh, and happy Mother's Day to the ladies in your family, too.
Thank you very much. Have a good, great day, too. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Cheers. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, I would have to say that was a refreshing topic, because I know that you people out there, you're wondering. You want to go into business, but you can't go into business if you don't know the whole aspect of it all. That's why I invited Nelson onto this show. I want you to know things. I want you to be prepared. That's what this show is all about, and I want you to be motivated. That's what I do. And I hope that you are taking heed to this. Please, if you want to, please send me your email address onto my Facebook fan page so I can be sending out my newsletter email to you. I want you to sign up with me. Also, don't forget, I do have my app out now on iTunes, The Bright Side with Technisha, as well as the podcast. I'm uploading them as quickly as possibly to iTunes, so just be patient with me. All of them are not on there, but if you want to, you can catch them archived at brightsidewithtk.com. That's www.brightsidewithtk.com. It looks like I'll be saying so many W's. But anyhow, thank you for tuning in with me, and God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow at noon.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.